I couldn't help but be fascinated by this scripture, because it starts out with the discussion of family inheritance. What do we inherit from our family? What do we inherit in the world? We often talk about, you know, I wish somebody would die and leave me a fortune. Well, I found it fascinating that people who get fortunes, especially those who win the lottery, the statistics tell us that the majority of them, in fact, something like 70 or 80% of them, are bankrupt within 5 years. How can you win millions of dollars and go bankrupt within a few years? Well, I guess if you don't know how to manage your money when you don't have much, you still don't know how to manage your money when you have a whole bunch. We don't manage things very well. But money is not the only things that we inherit in our worldly world. We inherit all kinds of stuff. We inherit traditions. We inherit curses. We inherit good things and bad. Some of our families inherit traditions that are good traditions. I remember a friend of mine saying to his young son, when his son wanted to stay home on Sunday morning, "What's your last name?" And he said, "Anderson." He says, "Well, people whose last name is Anderson go to church on Sunday." So he was sharing with him that inheritance of a tradition of church going, a tradition of religious participation, a tradition of valuing the things of the Spirit, of valuing corporate togetherness worship. Why do we worship together? Because we need each other. Why is it important to come to church on Sunday? I mean, you can listen to TV evangelists on Sunday, and every other day of the week you can listen to the message, you can read your Bible. But in being a family, in being together as God's people, we claim that inheritance of being part of God's kingdom. We are heirs. Heirs, we are going to inherit the kingdom of God. If we believe, if we accept, if we know that His Son came as our Savior, then we inherit the kingdom of heaven. That sounds like a pretty good inheritance to me. Sounds better than those fields and crops and barns and goods and things that the Scripture talks about. We don't know what the deal was with this person who asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide the family inheritance with him. We don't know whether it was a case of primogeniture, where the oldest son inherited everything and then was responsible for taking care of the rest of the family, and maybe this son wanted to go off on his own like the prodigal son in another biblical story. We don't know if it was an unfair inheritance or if it was someone who had sold their birthright, or we don't know what the backstory is. But we know that Jesus was not real enthusiastic about becoming an arbiter over worldly goods. He didn't care. He didn't care who inherited the family farm. He didn't care who inherited the family fortune. He didn't care who inherited the money or the goods or the property. But he did care who inherited his father's fortune, his father's heavenly inheritance, his father's heavenly promise, his father's heavenly kingdom. That he cared about a lot. Rich toward God. I had to laugh when he says, "And I will say to my soul, soul." I mean, how many times have we said to ourselves, "I will say to myself, self"? You know, I sometimes call myself Potter. I was like, "Potter, that was dumb. Duh." We inherit all sorts of things. We inherit curses. The Bible talks about the sins of the father will be visited upon the sons. But the blessings will be given for hundreds of generations. See, sometimes we struggle with things in this life that come down to us from our families. Alcoholism, mental illness, poverty, traditions that are not good, not healthy, not godly, not beneficial. Sometimes the things that we inherit aren't great. And sometimes we think they're good. We've all heard the stories of the people who inherited a lot of money and it just got them more trouble and more heartache. I haven't known a lot of people with a lot of money. I've known a few people with a little money. But those people I've seen who had what we think of as riches didn't seem to be very happy. And a lot of the happiest people I have ever met have been people who didn't have very much at all. So what is important? What do we want to inherit? What do we want to be, to have, to do? Do we want to be someone who has a lot of money and has a lot of misery? Do we want to be somebody who has a lot of faith, even if it means not having much in this world? Do we want to have someone, to be someone, to inherit something of a tradition of strength and being able to do good works for people in this world? Or do we want to inherit the tradition of being able to focus on the next world? I mean, it's nice to have money. You can do good things with that. It's nice to have stuff. You can help people. If you've got food, you can feed people. If you've got a place to go, you can invite other people in. There's nothing wrong with the stuff. It's the greed. It's the love of stuff, the love of money, the love of earthly things that gets us into trouble. Because when we start putting those earthly things, those earthly traditions, those human wants and needs in front of our relationship with God instead of our relationship of God being first, then's when we get into a lot of trouble. It's not the stuff. Where did the stuff come from? Well, God gave it to us in the first place, didn't He? I mean, didn't He provide us this world to live in and this life to live in it? We should accept this life with joy, with gusto, and enjoy it, and live fully, and live richly. But not so richly that we forget where it came from. Not so well that we forget who gave it to us. Not so big that we think we're better than other people, or better than God. It's easy to slip over that line, isn't it? To forget where our riches come from, to forget where our blessings come from, to forget who provides us with even those simple things that we have. But let those things suddenly be taken away, and we suddenly find a need to call on God. Air, water, life, health, home, happiness, church. See, there are people in places where it's illegal to go to church. There are Christians in places where it's illegal to read scriptures. There are Christians in places where it's not financially beneficial to be willing to admit that you worship the same God that we worship. There are countries where you're not welcome. There are places where you can be killed, you can be imprisoned, just for being a Christian. I bet many of you, if not most of you, don't realize that our own DS went to prison as a young man for studying in the seminary. He's Cuban. He lived in Cuba. It's illegal, it was, it still is to some extent, to be a Christian. As a young man, he was in seminary, and they put him in prison. I was talking to him this week, and he said, and I asked God, God, why did you put me here? But then he began to understand. because people began to come to him asking for help, asking for guidance, asking for support. The people began to see him as someone who had something that they wanted. And so he began to do God's work even in prison. Perhaps they let him out because he was doing too much good work. I don't know. But God's work is everywhere. God's work is available for each of us. God's work is always present, no matter how much or how little we have, no matter where we are or who we are. He has work for us to do. He has an inheritance for us to share. He has, well, what has he shared with us? We do communion today to celebrate the body and blood of Christ given for us. He gave his life. We inherited his life. We inherited his peace and his joy and his love, but we also inherited his power. There's an inheritance of worth. And when we kneel, when we humble ourselves, when we bow before the cross, when we take that body and blood into ourselves, we become children of God. We accept that inheritance. We give ourselves the opportunity to be part of that promise. No, we're not perfect. Yeah, we'll mess up. Yes, we get caught up in the earthly things. Yes, we go in the wrong direction and fall away from the right path. But we keep trying. We keep looking for a better way. We keep wanting to understand how it works. We keep making the effort, finding the way, asking for that ultimate gift, that gift of the kingdom, to be part of something so wondrous that it can't be described. To share in that joy that is beyond understanding. To share in that gift that is beyond believing. To share in that wonder. How could I ever deserve this? Well, I can't. I can't deserve the love of God. I can only accept it as a gift. Wonder. Awe. Joy. Peace. What an inheritance we have. Can we accept it? I certainly hope so. And I certainly hope that you will think about what it is you're accepting when you come and join us at the table. And to let you know, the Methodist table is open to all, regardless of your church membership or your affiliation. As long as you seek to be in forgiveness with your brothers and sisters, we welcome you to join us in communion.